I want to welcome those who are watching online or on local television. And then Pam Cohen reminded me this morning that every week she and other ladies from our church take a DVD of this service to women who are at the Catalyst facility. And so I want to say hello to you women who are joining us in our second service at Emmanuel Enid. Welcome, and we hope the Lord will speak to your heart today. We're in a series of messages entitled The Face of Grace. And over the course of the last few weeks, we've been asking the question, what does grace look like? I know what you look like because of your face. You know what I look like because of my face. What is the face of grace? We'll sing about grace, we'll read about it, we'll talk about it, but how does grace look in our lives? The Bible says that the God of all grace has called you into his kingdom. You are to reflect him. God is conforming you into his image, which means you should be a person of all grace. But what does that look like? This morning, I want to show you that a graced person has eyes that focus on the needs of people. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Martin Luther, the great reformer who lived in the 16th century, called Galatians, "My Katie von Bora." Luther was married to Katie, and he called Galatians, "My Katie von Bora," because he was wed to this book. He loved it. All of Luther's life, he was resisting religious leaders who were telling followers of Jesus to tithe this, to do that, to commit this and that. And Luther resisted them and said, no. We need to first be captured by the grace of God and then live graciously. Galatians tells us how to live grace lives. The Apostle Paul writes this book, and like every book he writes, the first few chapters, he speaks of grace in terms of a doctrine, who God is and what he's done for us. And then halfway through Galatians, Paul makes a switch. Even the verbs change. In the latter half of Galatians, the verbs become imperative verbs, which means they are commands for followers of Jesus, commands to obey. You say, so a graced person is to do certain things? Yes. And here is one of them, Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Now, that is our text. And this morning, I want to show you from these two verses some things about our lives, how we should be, how we should live, what grace looks like. Here we go. Working on behalf of those trapped by destructive behaviors is grace at work. I mentioned earlier in the service the article that is in the local newspaper about the ministry that several of our lay people run called Free World. We bring in men and women who are locked up and in prison. We're certified to do that. They've become our friends. Many of them, when they get out, they stay in Enid. We help them find jobs. They move their families up here. Chris Johnson, Justin Parrish, his wife Summer, they're meeting with several men this morning who are now out of prison living in the Oasis Center that we helped build. And they are just loving these men where they are. We looked at hiring one or two of them as custodians here at Emmanuel. And anytime we employ someone, we have a policy where we will run a background check. And the background checks that will come back for these men sometimes will be fairly full. It's called a rap sheet. And you'll see all kinds of problems these men have had with the law since they were teenagers. I want you to hear me very carefully. Sadly, some Baptist churches would thumb their nose at men and women like this and say, "We want nothing to do with you." If you're ever in a church like that, you're not in a grace church. But when you find a group of people like Emmanuel who recognize helping men and women who've been caught in destructive behavior is what grace looks like, then don't ever leave that church, because you're doing what Christ would have you do. Now, let me show you a few things about this work of helping people out of their destructive behaviors. First, this is physician work, not detective work. Many churches have nosy detectives in them. We need loving physicians. When Galatians 6 verse 1 says, "Therefore, brethren, you who are spiritual, if you come across anyone caught in a trespass," the word "caught" there doesn't mean, "Aha, I caught you. You can't hide that from me." That's not what that word means. No, no, no. The word "caught" is the same word used by the writer of Hebrews, where he says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us." That's the word. Sin catches us. Sin entangles us. Let us lay it aside and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. My point to you is this. Sometimes you will know people who get caught, entangled in a trespass. Do you know what the word "trespass" means? Well, of course you do. You're from Northwest Oklahoma. You're farmers. You're hunters. You've got a fence out there, right? And you'll put a sign on there that says, "No what? Trespassing." A trespass is an intentional act to cross an appropriate boundary. Did you realize that the Bible says sometimes people are caught and entangled by intentionally crossing appropriate boundaries? You know, some of you might say to yourself, "Listen, if I ever knew anyone that saw a no trespassing sign and crossed that fence, he's got what's coming to him." Is that your attitude? Well, you might need to change it. Because the trespass here is an intentional act, and people get entangled by their trespasses. And what you're to do is to restore them. This is delicate work, not forceful work. Meaning, you're not a detective, you're a physician. And when you see someone caught up, entangled in a trespass. Maybe they've left their spouse for a girlfriend or for a boyfriend. Maybe they were caught smoking marijuana at a stop sign and arrested. Maybe it's someone who was arrested with a DUI and it's in the local newspaper. Maybe it's something that is not in the paper, but everybody in your card group is talking about it. It's a trespass, an intentional act. Listen, you and I are to be gentle, not punitive. The word restore in Galatians 6, verse 1, we are to restore that person, comes from the medical field in ancient Greece. It was used by the Greeks to describe repairing a broken bone. When I was a sophomore in high school, I was quarterback for Southwest High School, a big school in Fort Worth, Texas. We were playing for the district championship. And I broke my left arm on the third play of the game. I stayed in the game, played the entire game. Of course, I'm right-handed, so I was throwing with my right. The pain was in my left arm taking a snap. I didn't tell anybody that I was hurt. My dad could tell. He was in the stands. And it was only after the game that the coaches asked what the problem was. And I said, I've hurt my arm. So we went to the doctor and they x-rayed it and it was fractured. The doctor couldn't believe that I had fractured my left arm the third play of the game. I wish I could describe for you how he set my arm. He was extremely gentle, very delicate. He was a physician. Gingerly, tenderly restoring my bone. You know, I felt like saying to him, you know, Doc, I've played an entire game with a broken arm. Why are you so gentle? But I understood why. When you're a physician who sees someone injured by what they've been caught up in, you're going to treat them gently. But if you're a detective or a police officer, and you catch someone, you're going to punish them. A graced person is a physician, not a prosecutor. This is what Paul means when he says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And there's one thing I've learned about a broken bone. Because I broke my left arm. Physicians will tell you that a restored, mended, broken bone is stronger than a bone that has never been fractured. If you ever find a church that helps people caught up in their trespasses, you'll end up finding people later on that are stronger in their own lives than if they'd never been caught up in their trespass in the first place. Are you with me? This work that we're called to do is a healing work, not a punitive work. We're called to heal. It's a little bit like Jesus when he met the woman at the well. She'd been married 5 times. She was living with a man that was not her husband. And Jesus spoke to her gently and tenderly. And the conversation was quite remarkable. Jesus was doing something that the religious Jews of his day would never have dreamed of doing. He was being grace to this woman. That's the way we're to be. Now let me show you a second thing. Working to help others escape destructive patterns requires my personal diligence. It's interesting that in this verse, there is a shift in the beginning part from the plural second person to the last part of verse 1 to the singular second person. Each one of you looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. In other words, the best work for restoring people who have been caught in trespasses is a corporate work of all of us. You can't have prisoners living in your house, but we corporately can build a place where prisoners, when they get out, they can live. You can't do everything for everybody, but corporately, as a body, we might be doing far more than you could ever dream could be done. That's a corporate work. By the way, First Baptist Stillwater, the pastor there, and the members, 12 of them, from their missions and community ministry, they said, oh my word, you tell your people, we are shocked. We are amazed at what Emmanuel is doing. I said, I will. Corporately, it's the best work we could be doing. It's one of the reasons why the last 5 years of Emmanuel has been extraordinary for me, because I really feel like we've hit that sweet spot of what we should be doing. But personally, you and I are to watch out for ourselves, each of us individually. In other words, I'm going to help other people, but I'm going to make sure that I'm not caught up in the trespass. And if you think you'll never be caught up in it, the Apostle Paul says, if anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We're just like everybody else. But in order for you and for me to be effective in restoring those caught up in trespasses, we have to be diligent about our own lives. Are you with me? I want to close by showing you this. In this text, we see that working to help others caught up in sin is a fulfillment of the law of Christ. I need you to pay careful attention to this, to what I'm about to say, because some of you didn't grow up with this kind of mentality. Some of you have not been involved in the church that thinks like this. So I need you to listen carefully so there's no confusion. Listen to verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Now the burden here is not necessarily the burden of poverty. It might include that, and we do our part. The burden here is not necessarily the burden of sickness. And by the way, we do our part in that as well. In context, the burden that we are to bear is the burden of a flagrant trespass. A sin that someone has been caught up in. Because when you bear that burden, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. Let me show you what I mean. What is the law of Christ? Notice it is singular. The law of Christ. It doesn't say the laws of Christ. It's usually the laws of the preacher and the laws of the church and so on. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, how did Jesus love us? Well, the Bible tells us. Matthew 1:21. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. And this little next word, this preposition, which is four letters long, is extremely important. From their sins. Jesus saves us from our sins. And if you're a person of grace, you will bear another person's trespass burden to save them from their sin. Here's what that means. A friend who intentionally crosses a boundary, a parent, a child, a coworker, someone special to you, they trespass. You as a grace person, you are to gently seek to restore that person by walking with them and bearing their burden. But this is what usually happens in churches. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Oh my goodness, I can't believe that. He should be punished. I've discovered that when you have a group of people who look at other people's trespasses and make punitive judgments, you don't have a group that understands grace. You have a group that may be religious, that may be prideful, that may be spiritually arrogant, but you don't have a group that understands grace. Because when you understand grace, you're going to come beside the person who is caught up in their trespass, and you're going to walk with them and bear their burden. Why? Because your goal is to be a physician to heal them from their sins, not to judge them because of their sins, to heal them. You say, but Pastor, here's my problem. There are some people who don't see what they're doing as sin. They don't see it as a trespass. In fact, they want to be left alone. Yeah, hang on now. The Bible speaks to that. Listen to this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know what that means? That means anyone that crosses an appropriate fence and intentionally trespasses, they're in the wilderness of death. You go after them. And if they look at you and say, I don't want you here, get out of my life, you gently say, hey, okay, I'll respect that. Listen, I love you. And when you're ready, I'll be there for you. You're like the doctor who never turns the sick patient away. And one of these days, that person lost in his or her wilderness will think that he will find a way out, but he won't. He'll be dying. And guess what? He'll issue a call. And that's when you come beside and you bind up wounds and you show the love of Christ and you help that person be delivered from their sins. This is what grace looks like. This is what is missing in most churches. And this is why we as a people should make sure we're always paying attention to those in prison. We're always caring for those in sin. We're always exhibiting a spirit of gentleness to those who have fallen, understanding we're just as capable of falling, but we're going to be diligent with our own lives, because sick doctors can't help sick patients.